Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast, Episode 45. This week on the Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast, due to time constraints, I don't have any video game news to share with you this week, but I do have a very sweet promo for an upcoming book by Scott Sigler. I also have 5 reviews this week. Call of Duty World at War for the Wii, Animal Crossing Cityfall for the Wii, and the movies Bolt and Twilight. I also have a review of Jeff Dunham's new Christmas DVD. I'm also going to talk about what the heck I've been up to and why this episode is so, so very late. All this and so much more this week on the Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast. If you wish to email me, please email me at silverwolfpodcast@gmail.com. And now, let's rock and roll. Hello, greetings, and Kungaloosh pack members, and welcome to another edition of the Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast. I'm Silver Wolf, and right now, I'm just relaxing for a little bit. But before I move on, I just want to, you know, I just hope that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving, you know, a few weeks ago. And I do apologize for this episode coming out a little bit late. And I have so many excuses for this. First off, I have what do you call a life. I also been working for a few weekends, especially with all these darn youth football leagues, you know, and working the concession stand for them. Plus, I also have finals week this, you know, a few days ago. And, you know, just a whole list of things that kept me from podcasting. And also this, you know, my computer right now is starting to become, you know, kind of slow, especially with a 1 gigabyte RAM, you know, all that. So, but anyway, man, that's pretty much all I've been doing for a while now. But right now, I'm just on the verge of going on my holiday break for about a month. And speaking of holidays, I am going to be recording a holiday special next week. And also next week and throughout the entire holiday season before I go to Walt Disney World, which I'll talk more about later, is... I've been holding this back for almost a year now. Yeah, just almost a year. And I just can't handle it anymore. I gotta do this. I wanted to do this. And that is my Brawl video review. You can still see a preview of it on YouTube. I'll give you a link to it. And, you know, it's just been, I don't know how to do it, you know, for a while. I've been planning it. I know what to say. I know what to do. But this is what I've been, you know, planning, is that should I buy a video recording device and, you know, record footage directly from a VCR, or basically just sit in front of a TV and let the demo play. I've been, you know, kind of confused about that, and, you know, I decided to go, and you'll see which way I'll go with and see how that goes. And, you know, I just want to try out doing video reviews, and so far I think they've become more of a pain than I thought, especially with my schedule and all that. But still, I will be making the Brawl video review with a, with a Retrovision on the original Super Smash Brothers. So be on the lookout for that sometime by the end of December. Or by January, so be on the lookout for that. And also during this holiday break, I'm celebrating the holidays with my family. And also from January 1st to the 8th, I will be going back to Walt Disney World, with possible work days from the 2nd to the 5th. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to meet a lot of people down there. I talked to a friend of mine, and you know, I also I talked to a few friends of mine that live down there, and you know, hopefully I'll be able to visit them. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. And on this trip, I'm not too sure whether or not to have missions like the one I had on my last trip. You know, the see Yeehaw Bob, visit Ventures Club for the last time, see the Pocahontas Show for the first and last time, and go on Toy Story Mania. This one, not really, unless you count, you know, seeing the Christmas decorations and checking out. Well, there's not really any new attractions, but you know, just checking everything out, you know, whether it's open or not. But you know, I'm really looking forward to the trip. And other than that, you know, that's about it. I mean, I've just been really busy with finals and all that, so I'm really looking forward. And also, I've been pretty busy with tomorrow morning. Like, I'm recording this on Friday, the 12th, and Saturday the 13th, I have to volunteer for a little special event that my school's having. So I am definitely going to be working with that as well tomorrow morning. So other than that, that has been, well, pretty much it. I've just been busy with, like, a lot of schoolwork. That's the reason why this podcast, you know, was kind of late. And also, I've been doing some holiday shopping and just the usual. And also, I've been preparing myself for this upcoming book that's coming out on December 30th. And it's from a really good podcaster out there who's also a novelist. And he writes some darn good stories. And before I move on with my five reviews, I'll let this promo do the talking.
Many were infected. Infected with a disease that thinks, a disease that talks, and as the victims finally succumbed, a disease that walks. One man fought back. He resisted the voices. Perry Dawsey carved out pieces of himself in a desperate attempt to survive. He won. But as Perry awakes in a government hospital, he realizes he can still hear those voices. It's not over. And now it's even worse, because the infection has become contagious. Contagious is the bloody sequel to Scott Sigler's horror thriller, Infected. Contagious is available in stores December 30th, or reserve your copy now at scottsigler.com/pre-order. Get the book the day it comes out, because if someone spoils the ending, you'll hate yourself enough to use the chicken scissors.
That's right. Contagious by Scott Sigler. The bloody sequel to Infected. It's coming out December 30th. And I highly recommend you to go to scottsigler.com and just check out his site and pre-order his book. Or on December 30th, order it. Because if you don't, well, Scott Sigler and I, well, just buy the book to be safe. Very safe. But the book is not coming out till December 30th, so in the meantime, let's move on to my five reviews. First off, Call of Duty World at War for the Nintendo Wii. Call of Duty is back for its fifth game And this time, they're going back to World War II. And in this game, you get to experience both sides of the battle. Not, you know, Axis and Allies, but more like the Pacific battle and the European battle. What I meant by Pacific battle, I mean the Americans versus the Japanese. And for Europe, it's Soviet Russia versus the Germans. And I know what some of you are thinking. You know, it's on the Wii. It can't be as good as the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3 versions. Now, can they? Well, actually, this one is actually not bad. Now, let me explain. Yeah, the graphics are kind of inferior, and, you know, the controls can get a while to get used to, but the Wii version is actually not bad. And I do admit that the like I said earlier, the graphics are not up to par with Xbox 360, PC, or PlayStation 3, but they actually are pretty decent. There could be a few moments where you see the characters talk, but their mouths don't move, and there could be the occasional graphics hiccup, but they're actually not that bad. And also the controls, yeah, they take a while to get used to, but after a while, you know, you kind of get a good feeling for it. And also, you can use the Wii Zapper with this game, but I don't really recommend it because the game requires you to do a lot of twisting with the remote, especially when you're throwing grenades or, you know, anything else like that. So I don't really recommend the Wii Zapper for this one. I'll just stick to the Wii Remote and Nunchuck. The sound in this game is actually pretty good. It has some great voice work by some guy that was in a show called, 24. He played some cop named Jack Bauer. I don't know who this guy is. But anyway, great voice work from him. And, you know, it has some great music, great World War II music, a lot of great sound effects. It's actually not that bad. The gameplay itself, you know, is pretty much what I expect from, you know, a first-person shooter on the Wii. You aim with the Wii Remote, you move with the Nunchuck, and, you know, various other gameplays. And another really cool thing about the gameplay is that during the campaign, it actually has some pretty sweet cutscenes, especially before and after missions with real World War II footage that, you know, could be a bit, you know, it could be a bit graphic. I mean, it's World War II for crying out loud. And, you know, the gameplay itself is actually pretty fun. It's a basic, you know, do some missions, kill almost every character in sight, and blow this up. And, you know, it's pretty much what you expect from a first-person shooter. And there's also online play as well, and which actually works. I mean, I was actually really surprised with the online play in this. There is no lag from what I've experienced, and it's pretty much the same kind of, from what I've experienced, it's kind of like with Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, where you start off on level 1, and the more kills you get, and the more points you get, you actually level up to different ranks, and the higher rank you get, the more and better weapons and perks you get. So online play is actually pretty fun. It's just that, you know, you always get those occasional players that just sneak up behind you without notice and just cut your head off. So, but you can't detect them once you get like 3 kills in a row and they send a recon plane and all that good stuff. So, but other than that, bottom line, this is actually a pretty good first-person shooter. Yeah, the controls, you know, do need some work. The and, you know, graphics do need a little tightening up. I mean, but also know it's, you know, it's the Wii, so. But still, this is actually a pretty good first-person shooter. It's a, you know, this is how Call of Duty should be done on the Wii. So maybe if they tighten up the graphics a little bit and probably, you know, tighten up the controls a little bit, it's still, you know, it could be, you know, even better. So I do highly recommend this. It is a lot of fun. It's Call of Duty, and, you know, it's overall just plain cool. And other than that, I mean, it's great. So overall, this is a pretty fun game. I give this game an 8.5 out of 10. It is fun. It is, you know, there, and it's Call of Duty, for crying out loud. And it pretty much has to be good. So there you go, Call of Duty 8.5. Pick it up. Next up is Animal Crossing City Folk. Now, first off, for those who don't know what Animal Crossing is, pretty much Animal Crossing is just about you moving into this brand new town, meeting all sorts of brand new neighbors who are apparently animals, hence the name Animal Crossing. And pretty much as soon as you move in, you're living life on your own. You get to work, you run errands for people, you can fish, you can, you know, dig up fossils, you can pay your mortgage at the beginning of the game. And, you know, you can just do whatever you want, and pretty much every day is different. There could be a special holiday every day. Animals can sign you different things to do on this day, and, you know, there's just a lot to do in Animal Crossing. That's why I've been playing, you know, virtually every Animal Crossing game ever since it first came out on Nintendo GameCube here in the United States. And this one is actually, you know, just about as good as, you know, the GameCube version. It's still pretty good. And, you know, I still really enjoy it. It actually combines pretty much all the good things from both the GameCube version and the Nintendo DS version of the game with a few, you know, enhancements to make the game just a little bit better. Some of these new enhancements include, first off, even though you're on Nintendo even though Nintendo Wi-Fi was introduced to Animal Crossing on the Nintendo DS version, but it's the Wi-Fi is a little bit better, and there's also one additional feature to Nintendo Wi-Fi connection that I'll get to in a little bit. And also, another new feature is you can actually go into a city, which is not too big, but, you know, there's a few extra things there, like there's a salon, there's a fortune teller, there's a theater where you can learn new expressions, there's an auction house, there's the Happy Room Academy, main building there, and a few other places too. It's not like, you know, extremely busy, but, you know, it's a nice addition to the game. And I mentioned earlier that Nintendo Wi-Fi has this new feature, and that is the brand new Wii Speak. That's right, Wii Speak. This is Nintendo's entry into voice communication with your online friends through Nintendo Wi-Fi. And some of the some of the games actually do come with a Wii Speak microphone for an additional $20, or you can buy them both separately. It's not that expensive, you know, to buy them separately, but still, you know, you can get a bundle and, you know, just get it over with. And, you know, with Wii Speak, I actually tested it out not too long ago, and it's actually not bad. It's just I wish the Wii Speak mic itself has, like, you know, a headphone jack or a you know, some sort of headset jack, so that way if I want to talk to someone privately, you know, I can just plug in a, you can actually do plug in a headset, but your TV must have a headphone jack in it, so, you know, that's one thing, but I wish WeSpeak was a headset instead of a, you know, a community mic, but, you know, it's Nintendo, they want to get everybody involved. And there's also one other thing I forgot to mention, and that is when you go into the city and when you go into the salon, you can actually change the way your character looks and make your Animal Crossing character look just like your Mii using the Mii channel. So that is, you know, that's pretty sweet as well. But other than that, you know, the game is pretty much the same. you know, it's pretty much has been the same since since the GameCube version. But of course, you know, it's changed a little bit. Like, for example, KK Rider used to be over at you know, the train station, but now he's over at the museum coffee shop. In the GameCube version, once you dig up a fossil, you have to send it, and you don't get the fossil until the next day. But now you can send a fossil to the museum curator, and he'll examine it for you. And, you know, there has been a few little enhancements. But for the most part, this is pretty much the same game as the other Animal Crossing games. And, you know, the Wild World is still available. And that's another thing I forgot to mention. See, there's just so much in Animal Crossing. I forget to mention a few things. If you do have Animal Crossing Wild World, and you already have a character and some things that are bought on that version, you can actually transfer, you can actually transfer all your stuff from that version all the way to City Folk. I mean, your character name, and you know your character self will pretty much stay the same, but all the items that you purchased will transfer with you, but you have to buy them again to redecorate your house. So that's one thing. And you know, you can send your data from the DS version to the Wii version, which I thought was pretty nice. And also, if you're going to a friend's house and you want to check out your town without going over, you know, the Wi-Fi connection, you can actually do something called DS Suitcase, where you can transfer your character onto the Nintendo DS with you can just transfer your character onto the Nintendo DS. I think using with or without Wild World. So, you transfer that onto your Nintendo DS, and from that you can transfer onto another Nintendo Wii, and you can visit your friend's house from there. So, you know, it's really interesting. I actually thought it was pretty cool. So, and you know, like I said, there's a lot of stuff in this game. And you can invite guests into your town, you know, just open the gate. My gate is generally open, you know, whenever I'm playing. So if you want to visit, you know, go right ahead. Just put in, oh, wait, that's another thing I forgot to mention, friend codes. Nintendo is still using the friend code thing. So you have to have a friend code from your friend. And also you got to know their name and you got to know the town name too. So make sure you put all that in as well. So, you know, it's all pretty interesting. So, but yeah, I mean, you can close. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff in this game. I was actually really, really impressed with this. And like I said, so much. You can change the tune of the town. You can make your own designs. You can read letters, you can write letters, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff. You can even send letters on the Wii message board through this game as well. So, you know, once again, there's a lot of stuff in this game, and I was really impressed by it. So, and also, speaking of friend codes, I will be putting up my friend code, plus my name, and plus the town name on there as well. So, you can, if you want to visit, hey, my door is always open, so check it out. If you have Animal Crossing City Folk, feel free to visit. I'm, you know, and I'll have the mic on too. So if you want to chat with me, hey, I'm here. So, but other than that, this is actually a pretty fun game. It's just that, like I said, it's pretty much the same game it's been for, you know, with the other past two versions, and you know, it could be not for everyone. So I mean, it's not for everyone, but it's a good addition to the Animal Crossing series. The control is pretty simple. You can use the Wii Remote and the Nunchuck, or just a Wii Remote by itself. Sound, you know, it's pretty much the basic, you know, basic sounds that you expect from Animal Crossing, with the just simple music. Graphics are, you know, they're still kind of the same as the GameCube version. And overall, I mean, if you like Animal Crossing and you're into this kind of game, I would recommend it. But, you know, once again, if you're not really interested in all this, I would, you know, I would skip it. Or if you're happy with, if you've been happy with Wild World or happy with the GameCube version, you know, feel free to keep those. So, it's all up to you. This is actually, it's, to me, this is still pretty good. So, overall, I give this game an 8. The graphics are good, sound is good. It's just that the one thing, it's still pretty much the same game I've been playing for the past few, you know, for the past few years now. But, you know, with a whole calendar's worth of events, like on, like actually this Saturday, there's a fishing tournament in my town, Vista Way. I probably some of you are laughing, but I'll explain that, you know, some other time. But, you know, there's actually going to be a fishing tournament on Saturday, which I'm really interested in checking out. And, you know, it's still a pretty fun game. It's just that, you know, it's still the same game. So, anyway, enough of my rambling. Let's move on to, let's move on to a DVD, which is Jeff Dunham's very special Christmas special DVD. Jeff Dunham. Sorry, I love Peanut. But anyway, the Jeff Dunham very special Christmas special. You know, it's a single disc DVD. It's also available on Blu-ray as well, especially on Amazon.com. So, you know, I recommend you check out both of them. And it's a pretty good DVD. The special itself is just hilarious. It's Jeff Dunham and his suitcase crew, with this time featuring Walter, Peanut, Jose Jalapeno, Bubba J, and everyone's new favorite puppet, Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. And it is just absolutely hilarious. And, you know, I'm still thinking about some of the jokes, and it still makes me laugh. And on the DVD itself, during the special itself, there actually is some additional footage that you don't see on Comedy Central, so that actually adds more. There's, you know, just a few extra minutes of, you know, footage that did not make it to the television. And like I said, it's just hilarious. There's actually a couple songs with the puppets, including Ahmed's very popular song, Jingle Bombs. So that song's on there. Peanut's rendition of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," which is just hilarious, and also Bubba J's Lair to Santa, which is also pretty funny, and you know Walter's opinions on the whole Christmas, and. I'm sorry. It's just so funny. And, wow. Anyway, there's also a few bonus features on here, like, a couple making-up featurettes. Ask Santa Walter, where it's, you know, people asking Walter a question. There's holiday ideas, like, you know, Jeff Dunham stands with one of his puppet pals, and, you know, he just gives out a suggestion, and the puppet pals, you know, kind of give their own recommendations. So it's pretty funny. And, you know, there's not really too much to this DVD, but it's just worth it for the special itself. And, you know, it's a really good show. Jeff Dunham does a phenomenal job as both a ventriloquist and a stand-up. And, you know, this is a definite, you know, special that, you know, could, you know, they can always bring in any time of year, because it's just funny. That's all it is. It's just funny, and I love Jeff Dunham. He's a really great stand-up, and, you know, he really knows how to make his puppets come to life, and overall, I just love this DVD. It's a really great DVD. If you're a fan of Jeff Dunham, chances are you already bought this, but if you're not, and you really want something to watch with your family during the holidays, even though there could be some stuff that is PG-13. So, but other than that, I do recommend you pick this up. So if you can find it, get it. You won't be disappointed. Overall, I give this DVD a 9. The special is hilarious. Even though the special features are kind of lacking, I don't care. It's Jeff Dunham. He's awesome. Just plain awesome. So that is my short recommendation for DVDs, especially with this upcoming holiday season. So, you know, if you want something to watch with your family, just check out the DVD or try to catch the holiday special on Comedy Central. Anyway, I'm going to calm down for a little bit. I'm going to take a break, but when I come back, I have reviews of Bolt and Twilight. So I'll catch you in a little bit. But for now, here is a mix of Team Fortress 2 sounds in harmony. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Welcome back to the Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast. I'm Silver Wolf, and now let's move on to my two movie reviews, which are Twilight and Bolt. Let's first move on with Bolt, starring Christian Stewart and Robert Pattinson. Twilight is about this girl named Bella Swan who, you know, just moved into this remote town in Washington that apparently has no sunlight. And apparently she falls in love with this guy named Edward Cullen, played by Robert Pattinson. And it's a love story. And me being a guy, it's a love story with vampires, and me being both a guy and a wolf, you know, I came to this movie going, what the heck was I thinking? And to be honest, it's not that bad of a film. I gotta be honest with you. It's about this girl, like I said, it's about this girl who moves to Washington, falls in love with the guy who she later finds out that he's a vampire, and you know they just try to live with each. It just then from that point it just gets a little weird. I mean, the family starts to accept this girl, even though I thought they wouldn't. And a bunch of it's just a weird story. And, you know, I gotta be honest. When I first saw Robert Pattinson as Edward Cullen, as soon as he enters into the film, You know what I thought? You know what I thought about for 5 seconds? I thought Robert Pattinson was Boy George for 5 seconds. No joke. His face is all pale and like so much makeup on it. It's so weird. You know, but no, he's a vampire. He's supposed to have pale skin. And, you know, I gotta be honest. I have a lot of stuff to say about this film. I actually went to see this with a friend of mine. She said she liked it. And, you know, I try to say I liked it, you know, trying to agree with her a little bit. But, you know, I just thought it was mediocre, to be honest. And, you know, here's one thing, guys. If you're thinking that this is a date movie, don't take your girlfriend to it, because she is going to fall in love with Robert just like that. I guarantee you that. So, I mean, I was talking to my friend after the movie, and she couldn't stop talking about how hot Robert was. And, you know, I'm a guy, so what else do I expect? I'm not saying that this is a bad film, but it could have been improved a little bit. For example, there could have been some scenes that could have been cut out. And, you know, there was just some scenes that just didn't make sense. Like, for example, in this film, there's, like, three, quote, bad vampires that actually do suck on human blood. The Cullen family don't. They suck on only animal blood, calling them vegetarian vampires? What? But anyway, there's, like, these three bad vampires, and for some reason, one of those bad vampires actually helps the Cullen family. I'm like going, when did this happen? When did this vampire become good? I gotta tell you, there was something missing there. I just don't know what. And also, there could have been some scenes that they were trying to portray as funny. I mean, I was hearing some people laugh, but I didn't think some of these scenes were funny. I mean, it's like it was some guy on a stick with a worm on it going, "Hey, it's a worm, eh." I mean, it was funny when I did it, but that wasn't funny in the movie. Or I probably just lost my sense of humor at that point. But anyway, also another thing, you know, it's just some scenes just didn't really make any sense. Like, for example, when Robert, you know, or should I say Edward Cullen, was revealing himself to Bella, and, you know, he runs super fast, and he has super strength, you know, kind of like what a vampire has, but when he's in the sunlight, I'm like going, oh my god, is he actually going to kill himself? No. The sunlight doesn't kill him. He actually sparkles. And he actually has diamonds on him for some reason. Okay, that kind of destroyed some vampire logic, the basics of a vampire. I mean, a vampire cannot be under sunlight or else he is going to die. Or she, if it's a female vampire. But anyway. And also, another thing is, where's the stake in the heart? I mean, they say in the movie the way to kill a vampire is to cut them up into four pieces and burn them. What? What the heck? What kind of vampires are these? And also, what the heck was with a vampire only sucking animal blood? They're supposed to. I mean, yeah, it's still blood, but it's supposed to be human blood. Or maybe I'm just thinking too much into this, am I? Remember, I have not read the book, nor do I really plan on doing it, but still, I mean, it's not a bad film, but there is just some acting, like some scenes that could have been cut out, and I do admit some scenes are pretty cool. Like, some of the special effects are really well done, especially during the baseball scene. So, you know, the baseball scene where the Cullen family is playing baseball in a thunderstorm because, you know, the sounds of them, like, cracking the baseball with the bat sounds just like a thunder strike. So, you know, I mean, that was pretty cool. And there was a few other cool scenes. And, You know, I kind of wish it was just a little more, you know, vampire violence. But remember, this is a PG-13 movie. It's pretty much meant for teens. So I kind of let that slide. So, and, you know, there was just some scenes that, you know, just didn't really feel right. And some scenes that just kind of lasted a bit too long. So, but, you know, I gotta understand that this is a, you know, a teen movie. It's based off a book, and it's not really meant for, you know, just a guy like me. So, putting that into perspective, it's okay, but it's not great. I think it's been overhyped a little too much, and, you know, maybe when the sequel comes, I mean, the special effects were great, and, oh, wait, that reminded me of another thing, too. When a vampire was in front of a mirror, you can actually see the vampire. I don't know why, but, you know, you're not supposed to see a vampire in a mirror. But anyway, like I was saying, it's not a bad film. It's not like a horrible film, and it's not a great film. I just find it mediocre. I honestly gotta say, I just find it mediocre. And probably when the sequel comes out, maybe they can, you know, pick up the pace a little bit. But I don't know. So, but overall, not a bad film. I mean, not a horrible film, not a great film, just okay. I give it a 6 out of 10. I mean, it's alright. I'm not going to buy it on DVD, but, you know, it's worth a watch if you're a fan of Twilight or, you know, you're a fan of this kind of stuff. So, but anyway, let's move on from Twilight and on to another film that, that was also another alternate that was also released, you know, pretty much around the same weekend, and that is Disney's Bolt, starring John Travolta and Miley Cyrus. Basically, what Bolt is about, it's pretty much about this dog named Bolt, of course, and Bolt is actually pretty much one of the top dog actors in the country. He has his own TV show where he, you know, has all these superpowers, and he is saving both his person, played by Miley Cyrus, named Penny, and, you know, he's just trying to, you know, just save her from the evil clutches of the green-eyed man. And the funny thing is, this dog actually believes he has all these powers. The reason is that the director, you know, he thought, hey, you know, if this dog believes he's a superhero, he would be actually a good dog actor. So apparently the whole, you know, superhuman dog kind of gets into Bolt's head a little too much. The only person that knows that he's not a, you know, not a superhero is the dog's owner, Penny. And one day during shooting, there was going to be a cliffhanger at the end of one episode. And Bolt, still thinking he's a super dog and Penny's in real danger and all this stuff's going on, you know, he actually goes out and tries to search for Penny. And he accidentally gets shipped to New York City. And now he has to go all the way back to Hollywood to find, you know, his person. And on the way, he meets up with this cat named Mittens, who is just a simple alley cat that befriends Bolt because, well, Bolt actually thought that Mittens was working for the green-eyed man. And also Bolt meets up with this hamster in a ball named Rhino, who is bound to steal, who, you know, once you see him, you just love him automatically. He's just hilarious, and, you know, just pretty much one of the coolest characters in the film. And on the way from New York to Hollywood, Bolt has to learn the hard way that he is not a super dog. He is just a regular dog on television, and he has to learn all that the hard way. That includes realizing that he can't melt locks, he can actually get hurt, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And in the meantime, Penny is actually, you know, worried about Bolt because she's known Bolt for, you know, since Bolt was a puppy. and she's trying desperately to find Bolt, but at the same time, she's an actress, and she has to, you know, work on the television show. So you got two stories going on, but the main focus is on Bolt, Mittens, and Rhino trying on a cross-country tour to Hollywood and finding Penny. Now, I gotta be honest. When I first heard about this, I'm like going, oh no, Disney is still going for CGI. Oh, when are they gonna go back to hand-drawn animation and all that? To be honest, this movie actually surprised me. This movie was actually pretty good. It's funny, the story's pretty nice, the voice acting is great, and the CGI is actually well done and very well detailed. And it's not just, you know, cheap CGI that some companies are going out with. This is, like, really well done. And I was really impressed by this film. And I actually enjoyed it. And, you know, I enjoyed it so much, I'm actually thinking about seeing it again. And this time in 3D. The first time, this review is actually being based on the, you know, just a regular version. But, you know, it's pretty much all the same thing. But still, it is a really, really cool film, and I really enjoyed it. It's fun for kids, it's fun for adults, it's funny. Even though like, some of the action scenes, especially, like, at the beginning and near the end, you know, could be kind of intense for little kids, so, you know, just be advised of that. And also, there's some, you know, there's like, a little mentioning of blood, too, but, you know, other than that, I think kids can, you know, handle something like that. So I think a PG rating was pretty decent for the film. And there's pretty much nothing else I can say. This movie is just really well done, and especially with John Lasseter, who, you know, who worked on films such as Toy Story and WALL-E and all those films. You know, with him being a producer, you know, it's just, you know, It just goes beyond my expectations, and I'm actually looking forward to Disney's next CG film, even though the next film that they're going to release is going to be a hand-drawn animation film, finally. But anyway, this movie is fun, it's funny, has great music, great voice acting, and overall, it is, dare I say it, fully awesome! Anyway, score 9 out of 10. This movie is great. I was really impressed with this film. As much as I was with WALL-E and, you know, some other Disney animated films. So, you know, I just really enjoy it. And even though I don't think they're going to come out with a sequel to this, I think this one's, you know, just good enough. So, 9 out of 10. See it, and if you can see it in 3D in your theater, I would check it out in 3D. So, even though I have not seen it, I've, you know, talked to some people, and they say it's really well done in 3D. So, check it out. And with that, I think that could end the show. I hope you have all enjoyed this week's edition of the Silver Wolf Audio Blog Podcast. Make sure you tune in next time for our special holiday episode. If you want to learn more about this episode, please visit the blog at swabp.blogspot.com. If you wish to email me for any questions, comments, reviews, or just want to say hi, make sure you email me at silverwolfpodcast@gmail.com. If you like the show, please tell your friends about the show, and also give me a review on iTunes. I would really, really appreciate it. Also, the music from this show is from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com, and all music credits are on the blog at swabp.com. www.blogspot.com. That is it for this week. I'll see you next time. Rock on.
What?